Good morning and greetings in the name of the one who we heard about, who died for us and rose again. And we count it a privilege to be part of the family of God. I'm here this morning. I know very few of you, but there is in Christ, there are some things that we have in common. So this morning, I would like to talk about what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And I'm not sure I know how to answer that question. Sometimes I think that we haven't learned how to do it. And so I'd like to look at several passages of Scripture that talk about walking in the Spirit. First, I want to go to Romans 8 and then to Galatians 5. And so as we talk about the Spirit, do we understand that God is with us, and God dwells within us by His Spirit for the intent that we would learn how to allow God through the Spirit to direct us in everything that we do. And as was mentioned here, that thought of purifying ourselves. And I think that comes by yielding to the Spirit of God that indwells us. That's not something that we produce or do in our own efforts and in the flesh. And so I'd like to begin with reading the first 14 verses of Romans 8. And I invite you to stand for the reading of this portion in reverence to God for His Word. Reading in Romans 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me or us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You may be seated. Now, as we look at the first verse, it talks about no condemnation for those who walk after the Spirit. Now, I think this would imply that there is condemnation for walking in the flesh. The condition of no condemnation is that those that are in Christ walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there's some things here that I don't fully understand. And yet, I'm grateful this morning that the promises of God that are given are not conditional to whether I understand. It is intended that we have here the Word of God, and the admonition throughout Scripture is that we believe. Now, the man of the world would say, show me and I'll believe. I think God says, if you believe, I will show you. Because we don't understand. Now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. Talks about that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. And it has no implication that there was something wrong with the law. But the fact remained that man did not have the ability to do what the law required for righteousness. And so, God sent his Son so that we would benefit from that. He was here in the flesh, and he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4 is a passage that I just look at, and I say, what does this mean? He says the purpose of this is that the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in the believers of Jesus Christ who walk in the Spirit. I don't know how to explain that, except just simply the fact that somehow God saw in his divine providence that he would accept the offering of Jesus Christ as an atonement for the sin of mankind so that we could enter into the righteousness of Christ. And when we walk in the Spirit, somehow what we do under the lordship of Jesus Christ and under the power of the Holy Spirit within us, allowing that to do what God wants us to do, that we would be doing what is right. Now, I don't know. I thank God that I was taught to read the Bible. And I read the Bible long before I was saved. But I read the Bible as a history book. And I did not realize that Jesus Christ died for me. I'd read the account of the crucifixion. And I'd think, my, that was an awful thing to do to this innocent man. Not at all realizing that that was for my salvation. And so, when the light came through the Holy Spirit into my life, things took on a new meaning. And somehow the word righteousness stood out, popped out, as I read scriptures and I came to this word. So one day I thought, what does that word really mean? And so in a study of, in a word study of the word righteousness, I discovered that as the scripture uses the word righteousness, it has more to do with what I am than what I do. I thought, no, wait a minute. I don't know that I ever consciously thought about it, but I knew in my heart that there was a sense in which I was trying to do right so I would be right. But that's not the way it works. If my heart isn't right, I will not end up doing what is right. If I'm not yielded to the Spirit of God and follow His promptings, somehow it won't come out right. And so then, the saying of Jesus Christ in John 3, where He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It just doesn't register. Paul says it in Corinthians. He said, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. He just doesn't get it. And so, here we have a picture of the righteousness of the law. And as I said, it doesn't say that there was anything wrong with the law. The law was never intended to bring us salvation. The law was intended for us to see the holiness of God and the sinfulness of ourselves, to lead us to the one who is our salvation, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That was the intent of the law. And so if we go to the 7th chapter of Romans, we see that the law is holy and the law is just. There's nothing wrong with the law. And so we have something that has given us what we need to live above the law. Interestingly, that in the Sermon on the Mount, there's a number of times when Jesus says, you have heard that it hath been said, but I say unto you. And I heard a minister talking about that, and he reminded us that there is no place that Jesus said any time that anything that was written, that he said something different about it. The law, the word of God, as it is written, does not change. When we go, we think that we're in the New Testament day, which is right. But do we understand that when the New Testament, when the New Testament, before the New Testament was written, the epistles were written, and they refer to the scriptures. And that is referring to the Old Testament writings, because the New Testament wasn't written. And so somehow it has to fit together. And so there is several more times here that the righteousness is referred to, and one of those is in verse 10. It says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the sin is life because of righteousness. And then verse 11, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Do we understand and realize that the same power of spirit that brought Jesus Christ from the dead is that same spirit that dwells within us and wants to direct us to righteousness and holiness? And so we have verses like Hebrews 12:14, I think, where he said, follow peace. Now, in some translations, the word follow is, the word pursue is used for follow. Those of you who understand the German, the word is jowet noch, chase after. Peace with all men and holiness, without which no one, no man shall see the Lord. That's quite straightforward. Isn't really hard to understand if we want to. And that's what this is all about, as I understand it. Verse 13, and says that we, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. Let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. And again, I'd like to read a portion of this. And this has become kind of a reference point for me to check out where am I. Beginning in verse 13, he says, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And I appreciate the liberty that we have in Christ. Now, I don't know what your experience is or what your experience was, but I remember very well my conversion experience was so real that I thought I could tell everybody, only to discover that my own sibling would look at me as if, are you going crazy? They couldn't see it. They didn't understand it. And I can't explain it. But the fact that God has given us the Spirit that guides us, if we are willing to follow and to heed his word. And so, how is this? There is this liberty, but there is with this liberty here in this verse, in verse 13, there is also some instruction. And it tells us that this liberty is not given to us to use it as an occasion to the flesh. And I don't understand the teaching that once you're saved, it doesn't matter anymore. And we say that if the heart is right, nothing else matters. I don't believe that. Because I think that when the heart is right, everything matters. And so, this liberty is not given to us to serve ourselves and the flesh and whatever we like and whatever we'd like to do. It says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's about sharing. And he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed lest ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is no way that I can fulfill my own lust and desires and say that it's okay. Because if I'm not walking in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, those things are taken care of. He says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Somehow, either we are controlled by the flesh or by the Holy Spirit. And somehow, if we walk in the flesh, we'll end up doing things we didn't want to do. If we're walking in the Spirit, things come out right. And he uses the illustration here further. He said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. He gives a list of what he calls the works of the flesh. And there are like 16, 17 things mentioned here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings and murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But he does not stop there. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And he says, against such there is no law. Now, so here we have 9 things, and when we are under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and walking in the Spirit, this is what takes place in our lives. It's not something we produce. The flesh is things that we do for our own lust, satisfaction, and whatever goes with it. When there is these 9 things, notice especially that this is not given in the plural. It is a fruit. And the fruit is complete when these 9 things are all blended together and come out of our lives. And this, the Lord used this passage to show me something that I needed to learn. And I learned it from my mother. It was at a time when we were together, just my parents, my wife and I, and we were discussing some things that we didn't quite agree on. And so in an attempt to explain myself and partly justify myself, I was caught. And my mother said to me, "Meshnetza lot shvetza. You wouldn't have to talk so loud." And I don't think that she could have said anything that would have hit me harder right there in that situation. Simply because I knew that I was finished. Even though what I was saying may have been right. But I was getting hot under the collar because she was disagreeing with me. And so I realized at that point that I was wrong because of my attitude and because of my response. I was in the flesh. And so I've decided I can use this when I have confrontation, when I chair meetings, and whatever I do. I can go home and I can look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Was I there in all my conversation, in my attitude, and was I allowing the Spirit of God to rule in this meeting? I wish I could say that I've always passed the test, but I can't say that. And that's just the way it is. But God gives grace when we are minded to love one another, to do what we do with joy. We have peace. We have long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temper. And it took me, I don't know how long, but quite some time. And I can quote 22 and 23. And one day I was reading, and I went to read to the end of the chapter. And I said, wait a minute. I had not noticed verse 24, where it says that if we live, verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the lust and affection thereof. Now tell me, what happens when something is crucified? It's dead. It doesn't rise up. It doesn't oppose anything. It simply has no effect. Now, am I saying that when I get angry or I misstep, does that say then that I don't have the Spirit? That's not what I want to say. I'm simply saying that when that rises up, it's an indication that the Spirit does not have full control of my life. I have gone out of my bounds, and I have allowed the flesh to interfere. As we read here, that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There is a constant battle in the spirit realm, and we're controlled by one of those. Read Romans 6, where You know, the one you yield yourself to, that's whose servant you are. Whether unto sin and unrighteousness or unto righteousness. That's the way it is. And so, he says that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I don't know how it was for you in your life before your conversion, but I know that before my conversion, most everything centered around myself. And if you want to read something that is really boldly written, read the book of Jude, where he talks about the ungodly. And he says that these are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts, for the admiration of man. And, you know, to be people to be serving you. One time I read that in public, and I had a flashback of my life without Christ. And I remember that things were never quite good enough. Everything had to cater to me. And so there was always something to complain about. And so what did we do? Listen to country music, which was basically singing the blues, feeding our lusts and our own affection. And so here, he says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, where we provoke one another and we envy one another. Now here it's using the word provoke in the negative way, where I guess the Hebrew writer talks about provoking one another to good things. But here he says that. And so my desire for the believers in Jesus Christ this morning, for you as a congregation, that somehow we could learn to walk in the Spirit consciously and realize that our response to each other needs to come out in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives. And we're living in a day when there is a need for us to consciously encourage one another to go the right way. Now, one of the difficulties here is that somehow, I don't know of anybody that is just like me. And so how is that? Why is it that way? Now we might think that if everybody would think like I do, do things the way I do them, draw the line at the same place I do and in the same way, things should be fine. But how come God decided to make us all different? He hasn't given us the same gifts. We don't think alike. And that's not the problem. The problem is we haven't learned how to blend together in our differences. And God, through His Holy Spirit, has given us gifts to blend us together. not to oppose each other, but to help each other bind together for his glory. Now, how's that passage go in John where he talks about other sheep have I that are not of this fold, and I must also bring them in? And I used to think that is talking about the Gentiles, but I just discovered recently that some of the Jewish writers don't agree with that, but that's okay. But in that passage, he says I might be in the wrong place here. It might be in John 17, where he talks about that there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. The question for me and for us together is, are we going to fit into that one fold? I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are given to build the church of Jesus Christ. And they are given that under the direction of the Holy Spirit, our differences will blend together and will be conducive to holy living. It isn't that we all do it the same way, but that whatever we do contributes to the welfare of the one fold. So may God bless us, and may we find ways to encourage one another, yet while God gives us time. May God bless you and provide for you in that.